How long did the last impeachment take?
I mean, it started in September of 2019.
Breaking news tonight, the tipping point on impeachment. Nancy Pelosi announcing a formal impeachment inquiry into President Trump. The speaker accusing the president of betraying his office and national security after reports he pressured the leader of Ukraine to investigate Joe Biden.
And then Democrats impeached him in mid-December.
It's just after 6 o'clock as we speak. The full House of Representatives is still debating the articles of impeachment. They haven't voted yet, but I'm about to go on vacation. So I'm just going to go ahead and call it now. Tonight, for only the third time in U.S. history, the House of Representatives voted to impeach a sitting president, Donald J. Trump.
And then Pelosi, Speaker Pelosi, kind of, she sat on the articles for several weeks. That was a whole kind of controversy at the time. It all seems so quaint now. And then the Senate trial started in January.
The Senate impeachment trial is here. And that heavy moment today when the Chief Justice arrived to be sworn in to preside over the...
And lasted, I believe, 3 weeks.
The Senate adjudges that respondent Donald John Trump, President of the United States, is not guilty as charged in the second article of impeachment.
So I guess this time around, Dems are trying to order impeachment with extremely expedited shipping here.
House Democrats plan to introduce an article of impeachment against President Trump on Monday, charging him with inciting an insurrection.
There's a lot of process questions about this because, you know, usually when you do something like this, there is committee hearings and investigations and time for the president and his team to assemble a response and things like that. And where we are now, President Trump has less than 2 weeks left in office before Joe Biden is inaugurated. And frankly, if they want to do this, they just don't have the time to drag all of this out.
I'm Jeremy Siegel. This is Politico Dispatch. And today, Heather Cagle on what the impeachment process could look like during President Trump's final days in office. So, Heather, last night Nancy Pelosi announced that Democrats are moving forward with trying to remove President Trump from office, saying in a letter that the House would attempt to pass a measure today to call on Vice President Mike Pence to invoke the 25th Amendment and remove Trump from office. And if he doesn't act, they'll proceed with impeaching Trump. He has just over a week left in office. Is this even possible in this time frame?
I would say yes, it is. It's possible for the House to impeach President Trump. What's not possible to happen, I think, in my personal opinion, while Trump is still in office, is for the Senate to hold the trial and potentially convict him. Now, it's unlikely that the Senate would convict him anyway, because we haven't heard any Senate Republicans come out and say really that they support this. Senator Pat Toomey, who is retiring, has said that he could support it depending on what the articles are. That's the closest that any of them have gotten. But you would need, I think, at least a dozen Senate Republicans to come out and support this effort for Trump to be convicted. And we haven't seen anything near that. But yes, the House could very well impeach President Trump, and then the trial in the Senate likely wouldn't start until after Joe Biden is inaugurated and Chuck Schumer becomes Senate Majority Leader.
What is the Democratic argument for impeachment right now?
So this is a pretty complicated question. I think they've heard some critics say, why would you even do this now? Because one, you're going to, you know, potentially inflame these Trump supporters who rioted in the Capitol and, you know, cause more violence. Again, he has less than 2 weeks in his term. Every day that we get closer, he's closer to being out of here and Joe Biden's closer to being president and things like that. But I think for Speaker Pelosi, she feels like the Capitol itself, the legislative branch, the citadel of democracy and the U.S. government was so violated. And it was violated because the president of the United States leveled this attack against the legislative branch and urged this mob to storm the Capitol and overthrow the government to keep him president.
In calling for this seditious act, President has committed an unspeakable assault on our nation and our people.
And she looks at this and she says, if this is not deserving of impeachment, no matter any of the other outside circumstances, the time, the potential for his supporters to commit more violence, any of that, then what is the point of Congress having a check on the executive branch if this is not it?
The gleeful desecration of the U.S. Capitol, which is the temple of our American democracy, and the violence targeting Congress are horrors that will forever stain our nation's history.
So I think that is the driving factor for Democrats.
On the other end, what would you say are the risks with moving forward with impeachment?
Well, there's obviously some very timely questions about if the trial starts. It's starting when Joe Biden is coming in as president, and he doesn't have a cabinet. The Senate still has to confirm his nominees. The coronavirus is raging across the country. You know, we're in this surge that's the worst it's ever been. We need more federal response for vaccine distribution, all of these things. And so if the House were to impeach and then immediately send over the article or articles of impeachment to the Senate has to stop whatever it's doing and begin that trial. And that means that all of those other things I just listed would get put on hold, right? And so that's a concern that Democrats are trying to work through right now. And one of the things that's been talked about is even if they do impeach in the days ahead, they could sit on the article or articles of impeachment and let some of Biden's administration get underway, try to confirm some of these cabinet nominees, maybe even pass another coronavirus relief bill, and then send the articles over and have the Senate deal with the trial then. But again, these conversations are ongoing and none of it has been decided. But that is probably the main argument I think we've seen against rushing into this and not considering all the ramifications.
What about Republicans? I mean, you mentioned that it appears there isn't enough Republican support for this to actually work out. But what are we seeing Republicans say about the idea of impeachment?
You know, some of them in the House have seemed a little open to it. I mean, we've seen Adam Kinzinger, who is a big critic of the president, probably the most prominent critic in the House on the Republican side, say that he could be open to the idea of it.
The president is unfit and the president is unwell. And the president must now relinquish control of the executive branch voluntarily or involuntarily.
You know, we've seen a couple of others say that the president should resign or step down.
The first Republican senator, Alaska's Lisa Murkowski, called for President Trump to step down. I want him to resign. I want him out. He has caused enough damage.
But then we've also seen some of Trump's most ardent allies, like Jim Jordan, come on Twitter and on TV and criticize Democrats for doing this.
I hope the Democrats don't go down this road. We don't know if they're going to. Let's hope that they do not do that.
Saying that, you know, they're just trying to unify the country and this is the opposite of that and will tear the country apart.
I hope what happens is what Senator Graham said Friday night on this network, when he asked Vice President Joe Biden, President-elect Joe Biden, to give a speech to the country and say we should not be pursuing this impeachment. We should not be pursuing.
Meanwhile, several of these guys, you know, voted to not certify the results of the election, right? So there's some ongoing conversation about the irony in them talking about unity when, you know, they didn't even vote to certify the Electoral College. So I think, you know, in the coming days, we could see a little bit of a sea change, because what we've seen is that corporate America specifically is responding in a way that they are disgusted. We've seen some, you know, big time industries and companies come out and say, we're not going to support Republicans who voted against certifying the Electoral College. You know, President Trump needs to step down and resign. Republicans need to take action. And that could be this interesting outside pressure that maybe pressures more Republicans to come out and say something publicly, because we do know from our reporting at Politico that there is a lot of angst behind the scenes and there's a lot of anger within the Republican conference. And people, I think, are still afraid of President Trump, and many don't want to come out and publicly voice this anger. But I think that these outside pressure points could drive that a little bit more, and we could see this shift a little.
Heather Cagle, thanks so much for talking with me.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Also today, The Office of the Attending Physician is warning that lawmakers who huddled together for safety during the deadly siege at the Capitol last week were potentially exposed to someone infected with COVID. On Wednesday, when a mob of Trump supporters attempted to disrupt the certification of President-elect Biden's Electoral College victory, lawmakers gathered for safety in a room located in a large committee hearing space. And according to an email from attending physician Brian Monahan sent to all lawmakers and their staff on Sunday, quote, during this time, individuals may have been exposed to another occupant with coronavirus. Several Republicans were seen without masks well in the crowded room, despite being offered extras by Democrats. Monahan did not say how many lawmakers were in the space, but called on them to continue daily coronavirus risk reduction measures, including wearing a mask and practicing social distancing. And Washington, D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser is urging the Department of Homeland Security to bolster its efforts in securing the area for President-elect Joe Biden's inauguration this month after last week's riots. In a letter to DHS Acting Secretary Chad Wolf over the weekend, Bowser wrote, quote, "We believe strongly that the 59th presidential inauguration on January 20th will require a very different approach than previous inaugurations, given the chaos, injury, and death experienced at the United States Capitol during the insurrection." Bowser has asked that the period for the so-called National Special Security event be extended, changing it from January 19th through 21st to January 11th through 24th, allowing for a longer period of federal security. Subscribe to Politico Dispatch wherever you get your podcasts. And while you're there, check out some of our other shows like Nerdcast, Politico Energy, Global Translations, and Pulse Check. I'm Jeremy Siegel. Thanks for listening.